Amen. My life lately, man, I just been sort of just looking in the mirror, you know, taking a step back from a few things because I understand the moment that we're at right now. And after today, I want you guys just to realize what is going on. I want you guys to be aware. The word says my people perish to a lack of knowledge. I hope after today that you guys get some understanding of what is taking place in the world today. We're on HBCUs. Everybody looks lovely in HBCU outfit shirts. And it, preparing for the HBCUs and the cold college theme, it took me back to college. And I just remember my experience at my HBCU. And the thing about college is when you go, it's your first step into adulthood. You begin to see the foundation of how the world is set, see the foundation of who people are. By the time you're a freshman, you go in there not really knowing, having a little bit of expectation to when your senior year, you're able to understand how this thing really works. And the title of this piece is I've Been Under the Influence. Influence definition, the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something or the effect itself. And today what I really want to focus on for a couple minutes is idolatry, which is the worship of someone or something other than God as though it were God. The first thing that came to my mind, that hit my spirit, I want to lay a couple things down to you when I think about influence. The first thing that came to my mind was social media. And a woman by the name of Jacqueline Sperling says social media has reinforced nature, using its activities to brain reward center by releasing dopamine, a feel-good chemical linked to pleasurable activities such as sex, food, and social interactions. The platforms are designed to be addictive and are associated with anxiety, depression, and even physical ailments. She also went on to say in her article that she wrote, people use social media to boost self-esteem and a feel of sense of belonging in their social circles. People post content with the hope of receiving positive feedback. Couple the content with the structure of potential future reward and have an addiction to constantly checking platforms. Social media is used to decrease, disrupt, and affect your sleep, which is an association with depression, memory loss, and even poor academic performance. Dopamine is a type of neurotransmitter. Your body makes it, and your nervous system uses it to send messages between nerve cells. That's why it's sometimes called a chemical messenger. Dopamine plays a role in how we feel pleasure. It affects many parts of your behavior and physical functions, such as learning, motivation, and even your heart rate. Social media has even had the rise of the hookup culture by providing platforms for casual encounters and an exchange of explicit content. Dating apps like Tinder have made it easy to find partners to have casual sex with, leading to a shift in sexual norms and behavior. So I want you guys just to understand what is taking place right now, the influence that so many people, including myself, have been addicted to for so long, not even realizing that, yes, social media can be a benefit. Yes, there is positivity that can come from being on social media platforms, but you also have to recognize that the enemy is also working on social media. And when it brought me to poor academic progress, it made me go back to my time at Virginia Union. I had a roommate I barely seen that semester. I probably seen them two times the entire semester. I lied to you not. The time I got in to the time I left, the time we had to go. And he was a freshman. I didn't even get the brother's name. I lied to you not. He was so in and out. I didn't even get the brother's name. But I remember a couple of days went by and I didn't see him. And I was texting him, but he was like, bro, I'm good. And I asked a couple of freshmen, hey, y'all seen, I couldn't even think of his name because I didn't really know it, but I was just like, hey, y'all seen, you know, because he used to hang around the football team. He was like, nah. It turns out that brother, he came to me when we were leaving to go, and he said that he was basically laid up with another woman the entire semester. And that his grades, he failed the semester, basically. And it just got me thinking about how much a distraction things can be and influence can be. And he just told me like how him and a girl, by the time the semester was over, weren't even together anymore. And he had to go back home and face his parents and tell them that he failed the semester for basically nothing. And the thing is, he met her off one of these apps. So I just want everybody to be well aware of what is going on. And now I'm going to shift from social media to people. Pastor Daquan, for those who've been here, he did a study on spiritual gifts. And a lot of times when people receive their gifts, at first they're very humble, very gracious, just in love with their gift. But after a couple of days, sometimes that gift can become your God without you recognizing it. You don't begin to pray like you used to. You begin to walk around in a little bit of arrogance and a little bit of, I don't got to pick nothing off the ground. I don't have to move any tables. And everything that I'm telling y'all, I've done myself. So I just want us to be well aware of what is going on. Also, when I'm big on discernment, right? You can't just hang around anybody. And when it comes to role models, you got to look up to the right people. Because you can't just depend on everybody to be there and everybody to do something, this, that, and the third. Because everybody is not who they're saying that they are. So you got to have a discernment. Even when it comes to people with this right here. When it comes to people right here. You got to understand everybody is not who they're saying they are. Everybody's not praying. This thing right here is holy. And I believe that we as the body of Christ have gotten away from this. And the thing is, you should never get to the point where you are almost in anticipation to please or be in great hands or be in a great company with your pastor or leader of your church more than you're praying in the presence of God. So many people are caught up on, excuse me, but kissing butt. You don't have to kiss butt to be promoted. That's the thing. People are looking for promotion by people that can't even validate you. And the thing is, you got to watch who you call a role model because a lot of these models is playing roles. A lot of these models is playing roles. So it's very, very important that the person you call your big homie, your big sister, your big brother, that they are holding you accountable as you are holding them accountable. And even when it comes to this pulpit, this is no joke. I do not take this lightly. Now, there was a time that I was out in the streets doing this. Matter of fact, I was out in the streets so much that I didn't even want this mic. And the thing was that I know God was calling me to this mic. But I was so intimidated because I said, that's too much, because I know the importance of this. And I don't want to get to heaven. The thing is, I don't want to get to the day that I die and he look at me and say, I never knew you. See, this isn't just any word. I really believe that this was a word for the house. So the thing is, man, we have to be intentional in this season. And people are fighting over titles and getting mad at people where that position was predestined for them. How can you be mad? How can you be upset about something that God had for somebody way before we got here? But not even in the church, but also in our day-to-day lives. So it's important, man, to walk around and humble and be humble and show love, man. Even to them people, man, that don't show you love, you show them love. Because the thing is, you can't have a world mindset and a kingdom. See, the world will tell you when somebody cross you, when somebody do some ignorant to you, forget them. Don't worry about them no more. Cuss them out. Fight them. But the thing is, God's not looking for that. He's not promoting people in that. See, the thing is, in order for you to go up and get high with God, you got to get low. You got to humble yourself. You got to kill this flesh. If you do not kill this thing will kill you. And we are so caught up in the things that we see on TV, the things that people are putting out in us. And it hurts, man. It really hurts. It hurts to, when I look and I see old friends and, you know what I mean, just, they fell out of love with their first love. And the thing is, I was so blessed when God told me to preach this sermon because there's too many feel-good sermons. And I know that this is Youth Sunday, and I know that, you know, people want to run around, scream, and shout, but people are dying. People are dying. People are dying prematurely at that as well. Real quick, I want everybody to shift. Come with me to 2 Timothy verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Second Timothy 3, verse 2. Well, sorry, starting at verse 2. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, I said it. And it says, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with consent, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. And the crazy thing is, there are many people who have this microphone, not even have this microphone, but just are walking around that are dying in this without even repenting. See, the thing is, there is no middle. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And you have to make up in your mind, I have to surrender. I have to bow down. Yes, that there's a process. Yes, you're going to lose out on some things. Yes, you're going to lose some people. Yes, everybody's not going to agree with you. Yes, you'll begin to look like an outcast. I remember when I first started going my walk with Christ, people were looking at me like I was absolutely crazy. Freaky Reek then became a pastor. And the thing is, Freaky Reek then became a pastor. And the thing is, when they used to say it, it used to bother me. But then I thought about how far God had brought me and how much I learned in the process. And the things that once would bother you, once would hurt you, they don't really hurt that bad. Like, that's all you can do is call me a name. That's it. And God's calling me son. God's calling you daughter. Hmm. And the thing is, in this season, I heard it 25 times, it's exposure season. People are going to start getting exposed, man. And the thing is, it's so many, I'm trying to get this out. It's so heavy because people are going to begin to discern your spirit. It's almost like your glass, like they can see right through you. So you can't get caught up in people who have the microphone and crying, even people that know scripture, because that means absolutely nothing. Because they could be going home and living a completely different life. So, man, it's important, man, to when you spend time with God, because your grandmother can't get you in heaven, I'm going to be honest with you. She can bring you to church, your pastor, we can lay hands on you, but I had to understand for myself the personal relationship I had to have with Jesus. The personal one. Nobody can get you in. It's got to be you. And you know what I learned when it comes to guilt, when it comes to shame, when it comes to heartache we get from this world? It's acting out of obedience, being disobedient. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit will be telling you, don't go to that party. Don't go over that girl's house. You know her parents ain't home. And the thing was, I can say all that because I'm a victim of that. I was so deep in the lust, man, Jesus. I was so deep in the lust. I remember one night I was laying in my bed and I felt a woman's leg laying on me and I couldn't get up, but there was no physical woman in my bed with me. Now that's a different Bible study for a different day. That's a whole different lesson. But the things that are out here in this world, people don't understand. These are spirits. This world is more. For we wrestle not against flesh or blood. That's what I had to come to realize. It's not, I'm not wrestling with you. So it's our job, man. When we have this thing with our relationship with Jesus, it's important to repent daily. And the thing is, I don't feel like us up here with this mic are repenting or holding ourselves accountable enough for what God called us to do. See, it's our job, it's our obligation to help save souls. It's our job to make sure that we're feeding you guys well, feeding you guys meat and not milk. And I think a lot of people lost their way with that. Because the church is a hospital. People are sick. People are sick with depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. So the church is a hospital. The church shouldn't be looked at as a bank. And that's what a lot of things have come to. So on behalf of the youth board, us giving back was showing that, man, we're not in it for the funds. We're not in it for the money. We're not in it to get a dollar from you. But we really love you guys, man, and we want to show that we love you guys in any way we can. So we got to make sure, man, we're killing our flesh. Because you never know what time we're getting up out of here. You don't know the date in which your day's coming, and you don't know the date in which Jesus is coming back. So you got to make sure that you're ready. I remember I had my junior year at Virginia Union conditioning tests, right, in the summer. Hottest day of the year, 110 degrees on the turf. We had to run 20 80s. That's basically starting at one goal line and running to the opposite 20, right? And I remember we did it. We had to do it 20 times. Yeah. And I remember around 10, somebody began to say something. Somebody began to say, you all right? You all right? Asking another guy. But, you know, you're not really paying attention because that's just what comes with it. During the conditioning test, the coaches want to see who's been working, who's prepared for the test. So around number 12, we running. Two people over from me. A young boy, 18 years old, freshman, didn't even start school yet, collapsed on the field. Collapsed on the field right there and died on the field right there. And I didn't really get to even know him, even know if he knew Jesus, but it had me thinking, man, I just don't know when I'm getting up out of here. So I want to make sure that I'm always ready. I want to make sure that I'm reading my word. I want to make sure that I'm repenting. I want to make sure that when I leave up out of here, I know where I'm going. And man, after hearing this message, I want you to know that if you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with lust, if you're dealing with smoking weed, if you're dealing with whatever it is that you're dealing with, you do not have to stay in there. Something about Jesus is something that's called freedom. It's freedom when you walk with Jesus. That's the first thing I tell people, man, you ain't got to stay in that. And the thing is, on the other side, so you're so used to the life you've been living, but on the other side, there's so much joy, there's so much peace. There's so much happiness that you don't get while being in the world. And I know I had to repent for a lot of things, man. So you're looking at somebody who repents daily. I had to repent of a lot of things, from cheating my fast that I was trying to do, that I was saying I was doing, to not reading my word, having sex before marriage, everything you can name, I done did it. So I want everybody to know, man, I'm in it with you. But let's, as a body of Christ, man, like, let's understand the moment that we're in. Play something soft for me, brother. I'm about to close this up. And the thing about this is this sermon is not to harm you, not to make you feel bad, but just to be well aware of what's going on. But you know what's so crazy about all this? Even in the sex, even in the disobedience, even in the anxiety, even in the depression, God still loved me. I still have favor over my life. Where I was being demoted in the world, God was promoting me in the spirit. So understand, man, what comes with this. And it's crazy because in Zechariah 2, verse 8, it says, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye. You got to make it personal. Say your name. He that toucheth Tiffany toucheth the apple of my eye. So that means when people out here trying to scheme, trying to plan against you, that won't work. Even when you're struggling, even when you're in lust, even when you're being disobedient. When God has that covenant on you, when that blood is over you, man, can nobody stop what is destined for you. So I just want everybody, man, to just realize how important that this thing is, that your walk is. We just can't keep coming here Sunday after Sunday, running around, laying hands, and we leave out the same way. But there has to be a transformation. Faith transformation. There has to be a transformation that comes with this, man.